We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on, it's Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I think censor is just a way out. If you're going to go, you got to go. In other words, if the goods are there, you must impeach.
Nancy Pelosi saying, if the goods are there, you must impeach. And we are all, you know, maybe once the Mueller report comes out, we'll find out if the goods are there. Maybe that's what will finally do it for us. In studio right now, an honor and a pleasure to have Hans von Spakovsky in here with us. Hans, thanks for coming in the studio
today. Well, it's great to see you in person.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I need to ask you, what name, first name do you normally go by? Because I think I saw you Jim, James, or JJ differently every time.
That's, yeah. It's a CIA thing.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Carafano is in studio.
Oh, God,
with us.
You ruined it. It's like that guy in the commercial, and I have to jump over the side.
Well, there are other names we call him, but we can't say that polite company.
You'll have to tell me on break what your favorite ones are. Well, you guys are in studio with us today because tonight you are going to Lindenwood, the Jay Scheidegger Center, hosted by Mark Cox in the speaker series here. Really exciting. I think people can possibly still get tickets at 971talk.com/events. It's a massively large room. And I think, how many tickets did I hear were out so far? Did I hear
500.
Wow. 500.
500 tickets.
Wow. Well, it's because you guys are rock stars. Yeah. And Mark Cox as well.
That's almost as many cousins as I have.
In the Midwest here. So you guys are going to be talking about all the things that you normally talk with us, but there in 971talk.com/events to get your tickets reserved free. But we'd like to make sure that we know you're coming so we can accommodate. So first, I want to talk about Nancy Pelosi. Well, I'll go to Hans first here. Nancy Pelosi says that if the goods are there, you must impeach. Censure is not even worth the political peril, I guess. Is there any evidence whatsoever right now that the goods are there for the Democrats to risk the politics behind impeachment?
No, I don't think there is. Remember, the Supreme Court says high crimes and misdemeanors. And I have not seen evidence of any high crimes committed by the president. Look, the big high crime that the Democrats have been depending on was a finding by Mueller that he had colluded with the Russian government to fix the election. That turned out to be a total non-starter. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So now they're trying to say, oh, somehow he obstructed justice. Well, the proof is in the pudding, to use a phrase. Bob Mueller had 2 years, $30 million. There were no limitations of any kind put on him to conduct his investigation. So where's the obstruction of justice? None occurred.
So when you hear Nancy Pelosi talking like that, it's what I was saying in the middle of the Mueller investigation was that the existence of the thought that collusion could have happened was extremely political value for the valuable for the Democrats.
Right.
So the conclusion of that investigation was probably pretty intimidating because it could go one way or the other, and it certainly didn't go the way of the Democrats. So now I'm assuming that this idea of obstruction existing is as valuable to the Democrats politically as the investigation into collusion was originally. So you see William Barr as the attorney general investigating the investigation. And on the other side, you have Gerald Nadler, who's subpoenaing anybody who he can muster.
Right.
Where are you keying in your focus right now to see how this is going to evolve, what the American people are going to have revealed to them in these two investigations existing, one with the attorney general and the other with Gerald Nadler?
I actually think that all this talk about impeachment and all this talk about supposed obstruction of justice is basically because the Democrats are afraid of what the Justice Department is actually going to find.
So it's a distraction.
It is a distraction because I think they're afraid of what they're going to find over the investigation going on right now into how this whole thing got started. The reason being that, look, it's all the evidence indicates that the only thing the FBI and the Obama Justice Department had when they went to the secret FISA court. I mean, that's the court that's used for our counterintelligence operations. It's used for espionage, foreign aid, and so forth. The only evidence they had when they went to that court and swore that the facts and everything they had were true was the Steele dossier, a political opposition research report that even James Comey admitted had been unverified.
Mm-hmm.
So they really didn't have any credible evidence on which to justify opening up an investigation, unless there's something that just we don't know about yet. And if that's the case, then it's very clear that no investigation should have been opened and that the FBI officials and DOJ lawyers who were involved not only abused their authority, but may have broken the law.
So in the midst of all those investigations taking place, I get a news alert that says that Iran's shooting a drone, a United States drone, out of international airspace. And I have invested a lot more time into studying these investigations than knowing what's going on in Iran. Jim Carafano in studio with us here talking lots of foreign policy on a regular basis. But specifically today, it's a pleasure to have you in here with us. When you see a story like that, what's your initial reaction, since you know so much more about this than I do?
Well, speaking about, can I tell you how I first knew that this whole thing about the Russian collusion was bogus?
Yeah, please.
So it's in the Mueller report. So, you know, you get a searchable Mueller report. If you type in Heritage, you will find a reference, right? And you remember that this all started when Attorney General Sessions had to recuse himself, right? Because he was untruthful, because he had these secret meetings with the Russian ambassador that he did not disclose, right?
Yeah.
And they said there were three meetings. Well, I was at one of those meetings.
Tell me about that.
Yes, it's in the, it is actually in the Mueller report. You can't make this up. So during the Republican convention, they invite all the ambassadors to the United States to observe the convention, and then part of they do is they put a program on for them. There to kind of educate them on the issues and stuff. And we partnered with the organization that put that program on. And one of the things that we organized was a talk by Jeff Sessions,
mm-hmm.
who is then, you know, one of the president's kind of chief supporters. And so this was an officially sanctioned State Department event. And there must have been about 150 people in the room, including about 60 ambassadors. And I don't think Sessions knew who was in the room. He just came in. He talked. And after he talked, all the ambassadors lined up to kind of shake his hand and stuff. And so one of them was the Russian ambassador. And that was one of the things that was reported as a secret meeting.
A handshake.
With the Russian ambassador. And the irony
secret
thing
is, with all these other ambassadors present.
The guy that was right behind him was the Ukrainian ambassador. So
oh
it's just nuts. And when I saw that, I go, this just is obvious. This is just nuts.
But there's got to be an agenda if that's the type of evidence you need to support something that this kind of smells funny.
And we've spent millions of
$30 million, 2 years worth of an investigation.
You know, think that
Jim,
would be
I cannot believe that you've told everybody about this super secret meeting with 100 people in it, including ambassadors from all over
the world. The suits will be knocking down that studio door here any second. I can't wait to witness it. We're on Facebook Live right now, so please be watching. You're going to want to see this go down.
For something, something that, you know, flimsy. And look, let's not pretend that it's just about this, because when you're reading the news about what's Iran, everybody is equally hyperbolic. Oh my God, Trump's going to bomb everybody, and he's just crazy and everything else. So here's what we know. So Global Hawk is a U.S. surveillance drone, costs about $130 million or so. It's about the size of a commercial airline. It is a big thing.
Wow.
And it is probably the most sophisticated surveillance drone in the world. First of all, we know for a fact that Global Hawk does not have to fly over Iranian airspace to monitor what's going on in the Gulf. And Global Hawks don't get lost, right? So the notion that somehow the Iranians
shot down this because it invaded their airspace, that's just a lie.
Really? Okay.
So we know that, right? And the president was actually right when he said in the press conference with the Canadian Prime Minister, well, maybe somebody made a mistake, because this what shot it down is actually a new system that the Iranians have just fielded. It's actually just became operational not long ago. We don't actually know the status of its crews and how it operates and everything else. So, who knows what really happened? But the thing is look, and the president's been very clear on this, and I think if you take the tweeting and the whatever else aside, he has had, I think, some of the best foreign policy that we've had since Dwight Eisenhower or Ronald Reagan, I swear. And the number one thing the United States is trying to do in the Gulf is keep the waters open. 15% of the world's oil flows through there. It's a critical straits in the Gulf. Maintaining freedom of the seas is one of the principles the United States has been with forever. We actually preposition assets to do that. That's the mission. We don't have to respond militarily to the Iranians to do that. If the Iranians do something more provocative where they're putting American lives in danger, we can respond proportionally. I think the big thing here is we have to maintain pressure on the Iranians. And the more stupid stuff they do like this, I think the more the international community has to line up with the president. So I think we've been spot on the strategy. I don't know what people are freaking out about.
Well, really. I would say the people who don't understand the details that really matter when it comes to a conflict like this. I'm watching CNN right now, and it just ran a headline that saying that the Iran attack on the drone raises the risk of war. So yeah. So that just to a novice,
that
is that serious?
Forgetting history, Jim, wasn't it in the late 1980s that the Iranians kind of did the same thing?
Right.
Didn't we sink half their navy? There was
The tanker war. And what Reagan did was he did exactly what Donald Trump is doing. We put military forces in the Gulf. We kept the Gulf open. If somebody came out and tried to hurt somebody, we stopped them. And that was it. So I think this war drumbeat stuff is just nuts. People don't fall into war. 1914 happened, because everybody wanted to go to war and they were looking for an excuse. That's not the situation here. This is some of the most irresponsible reporting I've ever seen. But going back to the coverage on the impeachment and all this other stuff, it's just par for the course.
Mm-hmm. It seems if you can step back from it, and I would assume you are both in a great position with your work with the Heritage Foundation. You are the go-to for information. I know that when we were talking about campaign contributions, Hans von Spakovsky finds his names on the lips of the President of the United States and as an expert. And as you very
Which
much
saying Hans von Spakovsky is no mean feat, right?
Yeah. Do you know how many, when I had my Saturday show and you came on with me a couple of Saturdays, which I really appreciated because it's not easy to get people who want to give me their Saturday evenings between 5 and 7 p.m. here. I had to practice. I saw your name first, and I was like, "Is this a joke?" Because this sounds so above my pay grade to be able to talk to somebody named Hans von Spakovsky. And I was just like, "Okay, Hans von Spakovsky," and I would just say it over and over and over again. And I think when I welcomed you on the show, it'd probably be funny to go back and listen to. I think I just butchered it up to pieces. But being able to be in the conversation of the President of the United States talking about these issues, you guys have a very deep understanding of what is going on with all of these stories. To see the circus that rises to whatever comes in front of the cameras on cable news and the stories that actually grab people's attention. Are you like, but no, pay attention to this thing over here. This is where the real story is. Don't be distracted by the way a lot of these stories are formulated for the American people from an entertainment perspective.
So I'll give an example, and maybe Hans can give one. So there's an article just in the Washington Post like yesterday where they basically say that the president's at war with his own National Security Council because he's really unhappy with the advice they gave.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's concerning to me when I don't know what's going on.
And that's a complete lie. Like I know the people. I know the people in the White House. I know everybody that's worked this issue. It's just not true.
Fake news.
I'm sure there are some people that leaked something. And here's what goes as a reporter. You don't have to believe it's true. All you need to get somebody to tell you that we think this is true, and then you can print that, right? But it's just very irresponsible reporting. I mean, who'd they talk to? So, and then they report this like it's gospel truth. And then, of course, all the yahoos get on Twitter, and they start tweeting about all this stuff, and knowing full well that it's probably not even true.
Yeah.
And you've probably seen this happen 1,000 times.
Well, I'll give you another example, and I have a article coming out about this soon. Remember when the president was asked in his interview, right, and a frenzy occurred when someone said, well, if a foreign official came to you and said, you know, they've got dirt on a,
yeah,
on a political figure in the U.S., would you listen to him? And he said, well, yeah, I'd listen to what they said. And all of a sudden, there were all these reporters and commentators.
Yeah.
Well, they were all saying, oh, that would be a violation of federal law. Well, I used to be a commissioner on the Federal Election Commission, and listening to someone talk or somebody providing you with information, that is not a violation of Federal Election Campaign Act. Now, look, you can argue about the wisdom of doing that, but the idea that it's a violation of law is just simply not true. And you had all these people who don't know anything about the.
Do you laugh at that, or does that frustrate you when
well,
you see
it? Sometimes I laugh at it. Sometimes it's frustrating. But you often see people making all these claims about federal law and who's violating it who don't know the first thing about what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue this conversation in just a minute. 314-241-9797 if you'd like to call the show as well and join this conversation. We have Hans von Spakovsky in studio with us along with Jim Carafano, both with the Heritage Foundation and both joining Mark Cox tonight at the Speaker Series event with these two fine individuals at the Jay Scheidegger Center. Go to 971talk.com/events. Reserve your free seat and be a part of this conversation live and in person. It's going to be a wonderful event tonight. And like I said, tickets are free. Just go reserve one of those tickets on our website, 971talk.com/events. And more with Hans von Spakovsky and Jim Carafano when we return in just a minute.
That accent.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. Happy Thursday to you. Tonight at 7 o'clock is the Mark Cox Speaker Series event hosted at the Jay Scheidegger Center at Lindenwood. Tickets are free, but we'd like you to reserve one. 971talk.com/events. And he will be joined by James Carafano and also Hans von Spakovsky, who are in studio with us right now. So, gentlemen, welcome back.
Hey.
Sure.
So, we were talking off the air a little bit about the president making the comment before, like, all of a sudden, all of these millions of people are going to start being deported. And again, when you just have surface level information, that's something that's all that some people need to hear to do a week's worth of cable news.
Right.
When you hear the president making that comment, he's certainly been invested in the immigration reform conversation in our country. When you hear that kind of a comment, what do you think what do you know that he really means by that?
So I know exactly what it means, and then I'll let Hans explain kind of the law about why it's so important. So Mark Morgan was actually a Homeland Security official under Obama. He got fired because he wanted to actually enforce the law.
Right.
And so Mark has been passionate and desperate to get back in the government and enforce the laws of the United States. And so he went back in as the director of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They're the guys that actually do the removal of people from the United States. And he went back in. But the deal he made with the president, he says, I will come back in. He says, but you have to show that you're willing to enforce the law. And he goes, look, there is probably there's over 1 million individuals inside the United States who have a final deportation order. That means they have exhausted every legal means. They've done through all their due process. They've had their day in court. They've done everything. And the other day, a judge has said, you should leave the country or you should be escorted out of the country by Homeland Security. He goes, why don't we deport those people? Why don't we send a signal that the rule matters? And he says, I will only come back in if you will let me do that.
Huh.
And so we went back in, and the first thing the Department of Homeland Security told Mark was, no, we don't want to do that. People will get mad at us.
Well, and, there's politics for you.
And so so the president said, no, I think Mark's right. Let's deport those suckers. So that's the policy. And Hans can tell you, because he's the legal beagle here, about why that's so important.
So but the people you're referring to, these are not people who are going to have a official contact from the United States for the first time.
No.
These are individuals who have gone through the entire immigration court system. They've had their hearings. an immigration judge has examined their evidence and their claim that they should be in the United States, and after looking at all that has said, no, you are ineligible in the U.S., and I'm issuing an order that you should be removed immediately from the U.S. Now, the problem is the immigration judges don't, unfortunately, under current law, have the ability to have a bailiff detain the person and put them on a plane and leave. What mm-hmm. happens is that deportation order gets sent over to the Department of Homeland Security to be enforced and carried out. And as you can see from what Jim was just saying, those numbers built way up during the Obama administration because they didn't want to enforce those orders. And so the numbers just kept going up until literally there are more than 1 million unenforced final deportation orders just sitting at the Department of Homeland Security.
So just what we were hearing from Jim here, that's because it would make people mad. Oh, in the Obama administration, the reason they pulled back on that is because it would be politically disadvantageous, or why?
Well,
was there...
because they didn't want to enforce them. I mean, I give you another example of this. The caseload in the federal immigration courts built up to huge numbers during the Obama administration, because I've talked to immigration judges over there who tell me that they received instructions from Obama people to slow down the immigration court system, to do everything they could to make sure that people were not ordered to leave the United States. They didn't want the immigration laws enforced, and they didn't want these deportation orders enforced, and that's why the numbers climbed to the huge numbers that they are now.
So in your assessment of the laws that are on the books and what could possibly be done, there could be reform. We could refine what we do as far as immigration policy as it exists right now. Are the laws on the books already that if we were enforcing them, we would be able to slow this process or you know, actually make a positive effect in being able to manage these people as they cross the border?
Yes. Now, there are lots of improvements that need to be made. You know, there are loopholes in the law that, unfortunately, people are taking advantage of. But the whole problem before Donald Trump came into office was an unwillingness, and the political willpower didn't exist in certain prior administrations to actually enforce federal immigration law.
So, Jim, I'll ask this question to you as well. When you see the president renegotiating the NAFTA deal and getting Mexico on board, and you see him threatening the tariffs and in a weekend getting Mexico on board, do you feel as though our relationship with Mexico right now, and we can throw in Canada to that as well, is it strong? Is it need to be stronger? Is it better than it was in previous administrations, or is it shaky?
Actually, the deal's proven highly popular in Mexico, and in the latest polls, Mexican citizens in the north and the south of Mexico are actually in favor of Mexico enforcing the immigration laws and not letting illegal migrants transit their country. So ironically, Trump's more popular in Mexico than, you know, maybe is in the U.S. on this.
I've heard you make this comment before. On a global scale, how President Trump is received, unfiltered by the mainstream media that we have right now, what is, you know, I'm obviously it's regionally going to be different.
Yeah.
But on the large scale, how is President received?
Well, you know, let's look at immigration, because I think that's a really, really good example. And I think it reflects how the president sees he can get past the politics and go straight to the people and make his case. I mean, look what's going on here is everything he is doing is to demonstrate that in every way possible, he has done everything he can to enforce the law and secure the border and make the legal immigration sane. And he's not afraid to do that. This deporting the 1 million is a good example of that. And he goes, let the people decide, right? And at the same time, the other side's answer is everything Trump does, we hate. So fine. So he's for securing the border and illegal immigration enforcement. And there are clearly, they're for open borders and not enforce immigration laws. Fine. You know, let the people decide that. And, you know, we did a immigration reform plan, Agenda for American Immigration Reform, heritage.org. It's on our website. The administration's taken a very similar tact. They said, look, there's 80% of this stuff we all agree on. Okay, we have arguments about 20%. But rather than we can't do anything until we, you know, compromise on the 20%, let's take the 80% everybody thinks is reasonable and just do that. Mm-hmm. And the administration is going to roll that out in a couple of bills. They don't think they're sure it won't pass the Congress because the Congress is just a bunch of yahoos. But he's saying, let's...
Jim Carafano. Let's
put these bills out there, show them what we would do if I was reelected and we're controlling Congress. Let them see what I'm doing to deal with the problem. Let them see with what the other side wants, and then let the people decide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really worked for him. They don't worry about the tweets and whether he is, you know, politically correct and all that stuff. And they don't fixate on that. Remember we used to say during the campaign that the people that support him take him seriously, but not literally.
Yeah.
And then his opponents like to take him literally, but not seriously.
Yeah.
You know, nobody learned.
Yeah, you would think at this point we would be accustomed to this way of thinking, but we haven't been. Last question for you, Hans. When you consider the context that Jim here is explaining, the way the Globe receives President Trump and does take him seriously, here on the home front, we have a very agenda-driven media that covers him.
Right.
It's very selective in what they choose to cover, and then also the context that they choose to cover
right.
within those specific issues. I see a lot of information coming out about William Barr's investigation into what went into the investigation into the Trump 2016 campaign. And I have to say, every time something has developed, we've had you on the show, and you have kind of been a cool cucumber about, you know, if the media is blowing up about how Donald Trump is going to be, this is it, this is the moment. You've almost laughed at a lot of the conversations that we've had about how they don't have their facts right. And you've been right every time, which is why every time something else comes on, I'm like, get Hans on the phone.
Hey, can we record that and send it to my wife?
Yes, please. Yeah, and no charge at all whatsoever for that. But when you look at the investigation that Barr is looking to dig up what took place in the 2016 election, you think it's going to be a nothing burger? Or do you think the American people are going to have an about face with the way some people in our investigative communities have been using their power?
I think if an honest investigation is done, and I'm hopeful that it will be, I think the final report is going to shock a lot of people. And I think they're going to be angry at the way federal law enforcement and our intelligence services were used for partisan political purposes. That should not happen in the U.S. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, you should not want the government's very powerful agencies used for partisan political purposes. And I'm afraid that is what they're going to find mm-hmm. when they investigate this.
Well, I think it's definitely a rip the Band-Aid off situation for the United States to be able to say collectively, we want the truth and we can handle the truth.
Right.
And it's not a political motivated statement for me to say that. I wanted the truth in the Mueller investigation. If my president stole an election, not from the Democrats or Hillary Clinton, but from me as a voter sitting in the middle of the country, I want to know that. And I also want to know if somebody tried to set him up for that situation as well.
Oh, no, I agree, particularly because, you know, one of my big issues is election integrity, and that's fundamental to our democracy.
Well, Hans von Spakovsky and Jim Carafano with the Heritage Foundation, very wonderful to have you in studio with us today.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And
yeah.
If you want more of this, and I know that you do, 971talk.com/events, and reserve your free ticket there. Over 500 tickets reserved already for the Mark Cox event tonight, and you can join them, and it's going to be a wonderful event, always is. You two have so much insight and intelligence behind these specific issues where the details really do matter. So we're very grateful to have you in.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Now that I look at him, Hans does kind of look like Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson? Oh, I'm going to have to.
I can't handle the truth.
Okay, maybe a young Jack Nicholson.
Just say that one time. Come on.
Check him out on Twitter at JJ Carafano and at H. Von Spakovsky and online at heritage.org. As always, wonderful to have him in here. We'll be back with your phone calls. 314-241-9797. Back in just a minute.
Is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Well, Fox News carried the whole thing live. MSNBC didn't deign to cover a minute of President Trump kicking off his reelection campaign. And CNN took two, 3 minutes and then dumped out of it. And what I have to say about this is it's just a lack of class.
So the way that the big Trump reelection rally was covered very differently. And if you were like, if you were given three scenarios and three networks, you'd be able to easily place who covered what.
Uh-huh.
And why is that? Because of political agenda. Fox News covers the whole Trump rally. Okay, yes. That's not surprising. He's the president. He's also announcing his reelection. And I watched it, and they kind of went in and out a little bit, but certainly carried the substance of the president's remarks. It happened during Tucker and Hannity, so you can understand why they would be wanting to broadcast the whole thing. CNN dips out when the crowd starts yelling, CNN sucks. Is that bad? Should CNN not do that, or should they just not suck and then people won't cheer CNN sucks?
But it's also expected. I think that when the crowd starts chanting CNN sucks, you kind of expect that network to be like, and what's going on over here? Let's sure. distract away from that. Or at least attempt to do that.
Yeah. I enjoy the circus that is the surface of media coverage. When you step back and you don't look at the story and and you're not consuming it as a consumer of news, and you just look at the how, especially having studied it. I have a degree in TV, radio, mass communications, and I look at how they are choosing to do this
mm-hmm.
on a network-wide basis, not on an opinion show versus a news coverage basis. Like, for instance, I hope this is okay to say, but we had Shannon Bream on earlier, maybe like 3 weeks ago mm-hmm. or something like that. She's got a book out.
Mm-hmm.
She comes on our show and we ask her questions about what's going on in the world and also talk about her book. And we requested to have her come on again because we wanted to talk about some of the Supreme Court cases that would be heard and decided here any day now. Like today, there was one came out about the military cross mm-hmm. memorial that was ruled that it could stay. And so Shannon Bream spent a lot of time covering the Supreme Court. We're like, she'd be great. Well, it turns out Hans von Spakovsky is as well. So we're going to probably have to book him again to discuss that later. But I want you to be able to hear about things that you can anticipate so that you know this court case ruling is coming down if it's of interest to you. But we were told, you know what, she's a news person, and her window to promote the book was over, and so we don't really make her available for these because they don't want Shannon Bream coming on my show, some Yahoo in the middle of the country, asking her questions like, well, what do you really think about blah, 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 because that's not her purpose. I respect that because they're drawing a line and they're saying, here's a person who can cover this for you and report on said information. We get a list every day from people from Fox News because we are a Fox News affiliate, Fox News radio affiliate station. We have that relationship with them and a list of reporters that they have that work for Fox News Radio and the issue that they're covering. So that is who they provide to us to talk about it. And if I want to have Tyrus on, who's a Fox News contributor, he's on there to contribute an opinion
mm-hmm.
to a show that is not in conflict with a news image, a reporter image that he has. So the people who would come on here from Fox News Radio are reporters. Those conversations that I'm going to have with them here on this show for you, those conversations are usually 5 to 6 minutes. Tell me about blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then they tell me, and then that's it. Because it's like, here are the facts as we have them today. And that is the full story. The longer form interviews that I do are like, well, what do you think about this? Or what should be done about that? News reporters don't cross that line.
Mm-hmm.
When you consume the mainstream media, it's very hard to separate who is on there to provide you news and who's on there to utilize opinion to help potentially persuade the audience. I am here for my opinion. And the way I embrace that on this show from noon to three every day is that I am more interested in explaining my opinion on something and my perspective on something so that you can hear somebody's opinion and perspective on something rather than contriving some sort of report that is also, you know, embedded with opinion that is mine and then using a bunch of things to try to hammer into your head how you should think. Like, you'll never hear me say, like, that's all you need to know about that or whatever in the context of me telling you how you should think on something. I am most interested in the topics that we cover here on any given day where I am talking to you about where I'm coming from and I get calls from you telling me where you're coming from. Sometimes those final opinions line up right down the center and sometimes they're very far apart. But your experiences and your circumstances in your life are obviously going to put you in a different perspective on an issue than mine because we're different people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I alluded to this a week or so ago, Tina Asher of Asher Career Consulting, who was a sponsor of our show previously, when I sat down with her initially, she used the analogy of a ketchup bottle. And she says, you know, if you hold a ketchup bottle in between two individuals, like 180 degrees apart, and you say, what is this? One of them might say, oh, it's Heinz 57 ketchup. And the other person might say, well, it's got, I don't know, 80 calories per tablespoon. And, you know, there's a different perspective on what it actually is. It is a ketchup bottle, but you're seeing it from different sides. That doesn't mean that at the end, you're both not seeing that ketchup bottle, but you are seeing a different version of it. So where you sit in context of any issue, reparations, talking to Tyrus at 110 was an interesting conversation about reparations. His opinion on that isn't when he was the way he was talking. I didn't 100% agree with what he was saying, but it was interesting to hear his perspective on it because I believe he's biracial. He referred to himself as a black man. And yeah, he's going to have a different take on that than I as a white woman am going to have. But I think it's valuable to hear that conversation.
Yes.
And know where somebody like Tyrus is on said issue. How is that possibly going to hurt my opinion? It doesn't have to change my opinion on in any way, shape, or form. In fact, hearing somebody else's different take on something might fortify the opinion that you had to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Katie, you're in your mid-20s. You're married. You don't have kids yet. And you and I see a lot of things very similarly, but we also see a lot of things very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And our positions in life are going to affect that. You know, Tony is in his early 40s. So Tony and I both have kids and you don't have kids. You and I are both females. Tony is not a female. I don't know what you two have in common that I don't.
I don't know either. I don't know.
But there are certain issues that we would triangulate and all push the same button when the issue is completed and discussed. And we're all living very different lives. And there are other issues where you would think, well, y'all lean conservative or you all lean to the right side of the aisle. How can you see this so differently? Well, because we're different people. And
that's
fine.
You more well-rounded. It makes you a better educated, more well-rounded human being when you can listen to somebody else's side and say, I don't really agree with what you have to say, but I'm going to let you say it. And then you're going to hear what I have to say. And at the end of it, let's shake hands. Let's go grab a beer. It's all good.
But what if it's whiskey?
That too. It could be whiskey.
There's something we don't agree on.
Yeah. Bring over that Bud Light.
Or a delicious glass of wine. We could agree on that.
Yes, that's true.
Katie and I and Tony are going to be doing a video series here shortly, and it's going to be like the Newlywed Game, and we're going to answer questions on video. So Katie and Tony are going to be together, and then I'm going to be separate, and we're going to answer the same like five questions. For example, what's the number one way to make Annie lose her cool on air? And then I will answer that question. But then Katie and Tony will, without me being present, answer that question. What's the number one way to make Annie? And then we're going to put that all together. So if you have questions that you think should be asked, so we're going to do three videos. One where I'm by myself and Tony and Katie are together answering the questions about me. One where Katie is by herself, where Tony and I are answering the questions against her. That's going to be the funniest one. And then
they're
one
gonna be crazy.
Where Tony's by himself and Katie and I are going to be. That one's going to be funny, too. I guess mine will probably be boring.
I think it's going to be interesting. We are in the studio 5 days a week for 3 hours a day together. That's a lot of time. I'm going to be interested to see.
Except this last hour where Tony disappeared. Yeah,
Tony's gone. He's getting lunch. We spent a lot of
signs
time
of the
together.
Apocalypse. Tony has been raptured.
See ya. He's out
by
there
Chris's
in that
pancakes.
Square.
Yeah. It will. We know each other pretty well in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see how well we actually do.
Who
know
will
each other.
Know the most?
And how if our responses match up or if they're completely different. So if you have questions that you think would be fun for us to answer in this newlywed game esque version of this little thing that we have going on in the studio between Katie and Tony and I, we would love for you to tweet them at us, at Annie Fry Show, at KFitz971, at Tony Colombo 971. Because you might want to tweet to different people based on what you're trying to talk about here. But you should tweet us those questions that we should ask and ask each other, and then we will put them in a video and share it to you. And I think it's going to be pretty hilarious. I in my mind, I'm seeing things that are going to definitely make
me
laugh a lot.
We're making some funny stuff around here.
Absolutely.
Check it out on the website.
And if you don't follow our Facebook page yet, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. Next week, when we're in New York City, it's going to be the place to be. Make sure you follow that Facebook page.
Hop in.
The Dave Glover Show. Coming up next, you can follow us on our podcast. Anywhere you get podcasts, iTunes, radio.com. We'll have you there. 971talk.com/Annie.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.